SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There are 24 hours in every day,
1,440 minutes,
86,400 seconds, and we still have trouble squeezing all this glorious
sports talk in.
Have you thought about maybe sleeping less?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Football, football, football. The countdown is on. Let's do this thing. The Late Night Anger Management Crush. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. We're at level three right now. Thanks to Andrew McKinnis for joining us on the program. Great stuff. Steve Merrill as well. So, what was the news of the night tonight? Vladimir Guerrero is the news of the night tonight. I want to find out what happened to that baseball. So as we just stated, the value of his merchandise and his memorabilia have just skyrocketed and gone up. I'm on a merchandise memorabilia kick as of late. You know what? I'm a single middle-aged man, disposable income. But I know I wanted to buy a Buffalo Bill helmet for the set, and I was like, well, the helmets aren't cheap, man, alone. And then I was like, it's only a couple of hundred more bucks with the damn autograph on it. So I'll get that. And then I sort of got a little crazy. I got a Cole Caulfield first ever goal scored autograph picture. I bought a bunch of hockey pucks, cool pucks, memorable pucks from the Canadiens run of the series and the cup and stuff. I got the puck of the official game three puck that I was at, even though they lost. I got a Kyler Murray autographed helmet, but the Kyler Murray one is a mini one. The Kyler Murray one is a mini helmet autographed. That was about $250, $300, $250, $300 for the mini helmet Kyler Murray autographed. He is the number one pick in the draft. I think they're gonna have a big year this year, Arizona. All right, so we're just saying this because somebody just sent me a tweet and they said their Vladimir Guerrero autographed rookie cards have gone up and triple in value tonight since Vladimir Guerrero took over the scene. Listen, everybody's known Vladimir Guerrero and Fernando Tatis Jr., and it's amazing, too, the similarities between the two of them. You know, if you don't know this, just for the record, that if you heard during the game today, Tatis said we're best friends. You know, we grew up together, and we've lived the same life. And they really have, right? Like, people don't talk about Fernando Tatis Sr. as much, but remember Fernando Tatis, man, he was a good hitter with the St. Louis Cardinals. And then he went to the Montreal Expos, and he was really good, but then he had a problem. You know, I think he suffered from, he basically lost it. I don't know if it was anxiety, like he had a problem hitting. Like he got, like, you know, with baseball players sometimes, like, remember Chuck Knobloch couldn't throw the ball to first base anymore. He kept on throwing it over the head, or some pitchers, Rick Ankiel, couldn't throw it to home plate suddenly anymore. You know, like Tatis, he just didn't want to play suddenly. Like he just sort of got this, I don't want to play. Like, I don't know, like he talked about it years after type thing. But anyways, I was crazy with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. because I covered the Expos when Vladimir Guerrero Sr. was there. And I got along well with him. And no one really did. No one talked to him. But One year I was voted the number one sports personality in Montreal years ago. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. I'm just telling a story about Vladimir Guerrero Sr. and Jr., etc. So many years ago, I was on the radio in Montreal, and I was voted the most popular sports personality in the city. Ahead of Vladimir Guerrero. All right, so I beat Vladimir Guerrero. And Vladimir Guerrero was in the dugout, and he was holding the newspaper, and he called me over, and he goes, somebody told me this is you, man, and he points at my name, and he started laughing, and he's like, he liked it, he's laughing. He goes, how are you more popular than me? That's what he said to me. He goes, how are you more popular than me? And I said, hey, I would have voted for you, bro. I said, hey, you know what I mean? I said, I don't know what to tell you. I would have voted for you. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I was wearing these badass Air Jordans. And Guerrero looks and he goes, nice shoes. Like, you know, he can speak English a little bit, but he pointed at my shoes and he goes, kind of thumbs up. He nods like approvingly. And then he goes like this to me, like, come here. So he goes, follow me type thing. So we're in the dugout. And he tells me to follow him. I'm like, the hell's going on? So he brings me into the clubhouse. All right. So he brings me into the clubhouse and we go up to the locker. And at his locker, he had like 25 boxes of shoes, right? All badass Nikes and stuff that they sent him. All right. And he goes, yours are nice. And he goes, what do you think of this? And he pulls out like this custom Jordan that only like the elite had at the time type thing. And he's like not bad. And he starts showing me more and more, right, of all these shoes. And I was like, man. And later in the year, it was the last year, the Expos were leaving. And I knew Guerrero didn't want to go to Washington. And I asked to do an interview, and the PR said, you know he doesn't do one-on-one interviews. He's never done a one-on-one interview in 7 years here. And I said, just ask him. And I said, tell him it's me. And he's there, he looks over, he nods, he goes, all right, I'll do the interview. And the guy came back from the Expos, and he goes, yeah, he's gonna do it with you, because he thinks he's always have cool shoes. Bring it!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Do you have a gambling problem?
No, I enjoy it. It's a hobby.
Problem? We gave you Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to win the MVP at 7-1. There's no problem. It's all good. Settle down, Ahmad Rashad. Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're just talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Senior. I'll share the story. I know a lot of people were enjoying it earlier on Twitter, at least Expo fans and Blue Jay fans and fans of Guerrero, etc. And I don't have a lot. It's not like there's a lot of future Hall of Famers and past Hall of Famers that I hung around with. Right? Like, you know what I'm saying? But covering the Expos, and I'm writing a book for 20 years. I'm moving in on my 20th anniversary doing this show. And our book will be coming out in conjunction with the anniversary show January 6, 2022. So it's around the corner, man. It's coming. It's coming. Sports, drugs, and rock and roll. 20 years. It's actually been longer because, you know, we went on tour with our first band in 1985. So I've been doing shows for 35 years now, right? 35 years. And gambling for longer, right? And I've met a lot of Hall of Famers. I've hung around. Like, I've got some great stories and stuff. Not as much as, like, some people. You know what I mean? I'm not like a mega celebrity. I don't have celebrity buddies on my phone or anything like that. But there's been some cool people over the years that I've gotten an opportunity to work with, hang around with. You know, did a show with Marshall Faulk for a year. That was awesome. Football show. You know, you guys know they've been listening for a long time. Our UFC era in the old days was epic. Hanging out with Chuck Liddell and Heath Herring and Phil Baroni. Frank Mir was a buddy, like, you know what I mean? They actually were like friends, like, you know what I mean? Like, I lived in Vegas, and I'd get a call and stuff. Hey, Morency, where are you going tonight? Where are you? Gray Maynard. Where are you at, Morency? I'd tell him, yo, bro, I'm at the Luxor. All right, me and Michael Chandler will be right over. You know what I mean? It's true stories, the old days. You guys remember? Right? It was great, great times hanging in Vegas and stuff. But everything I've done in my career, and I enjoy it like every day. You guys can tell the passion I have for every show. That's why, you know, I got mad about, you know, Kurtz last night. Not just Kurtz, I'm not blaming him, but other people. Same thing to say, like, oh, a show doesn't matter. Every damn show matters. Every damn show matters. Matthias, you've been doing this show now with us for nearly a year now. Have you noticed? Have I ever been, like, mailed it in? Have you ever said, oh, Morency didn't seem to care last night or whatnot? Every damn night, bro, I'm the same. You notice?
You bring
every
the
night.
Every night. You're bringing the
yeah, every night.
1 hour fastball, baby.
Yeah. Whether it's after the Super Bowl or whether it's July 14th, bro. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. Like, I don't want to do a bad show. I don't want to suck on the air. Right? Like, sometimes I will, but it didn't mean I want to. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean I wanted to. Right?
Not sports sleep, sports rage.
Yeah, like, you know, you do your best. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. But out of everything I've done in my career, I get goosebumps and the memory of everything, like, you know, being in New York was cool, and, oh, you know, you're the mayor of the Meadowlands now, and, you know, I was, you know, getting popular and stuff, and that was fun, but, and, you know, I was on the Score Television Network, and we were really big, man. I had, like, massive TV ratings then. Like, I was beating the mainstream people, like, handily, too, right? But nothing tops the Expos days. It was just, you know, it was the funnest time that I had. In a sense, like, and I wasn't big yet. I was just sort of starting to make it then. So it was sort of like the journey. But just looking back, like, I called a Major League Baseball game, guys. Say what you will. You know what I mean? About this and that. That's something no one can ever take away from me. Whatever. You could fire me tomorrow. I still did a Major League Baseball game. You ever thought when I got into this business, dude, when I got into this business 20 years ago, I was like, I don't know, I hope I don't get fired after my first show. I didn't think I was going to last 20 years. Right? So you think I was going to last 20 years, let alone call a Major League Baseball game. I was the analyst. And I wouldn't even hire me as an analyst. I was the post game show host for the Montreal Expos, and but I was really into it, right? I took it seriously, so I used to show up. And also, I'm not gonna lie, I was poor, so I used to like the food at the stadium, right? The free food. So you had to pay for dinner though. You get free chips and hot dogs and Coke and, like, you know what I mean? You get free snacks, but the meals weren't free. But the meals were really good, and they were cheap. It was like $8 or something in the cafeteria, right, in the press box. And you see, you got the meal and everything else. So it was like $10 a day, and I was eating. And I, like everyone else in the media that's been there before, we all know, yes, I was stealing food on the way out. Yes, I was stealing food. Like, I had no money. I was poor. You guys, hey, pay me more for the show, and I wouldn't have taken 8 bags of chips and all the crackers and cheese that I could. Like, basically, like, you'd go up, you know what I mean? You take 2 bags of chips, you go back to your seat. One of the chips, you sort of goes in the bag, Matthias. You know what I'm saying, bro? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you go up, you're like, oh, look, they got chocolate bars out here. You grab a couple of them. You know, you eat one of them goes in the bag. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the night, I have a little bag. And everyone knows in the cold and stuff. But, like, I used to eat them out of ice cream during the game. Like, the girl would tell me, she'd go, man, we've got to get more, send for more ice cream because of you. And I told her, they don't pay me enough. I'm trying to get my money's worth here. Right? So I'd be, like, cracking ice cream. I'd feel sick, bro, during the post-game show sometimes. And I was like, man, I ate way too much crap just because it was free, man. You know what I mean? I was like, I tried to make a point of it, of crushing stuff. But so basically, I'm doing a post-game show all the time, and the show's very popular. All right? So the show's very popular. Right? Like, and the Expos hated me. The team liked me, but they were owned by Major League Baseball. And baseball, it wasn't a fan of mine, but they didn't care because the team was moving to Washington. So they were like, whatever, we're moving in 2 years anyways. So, you know, whatever. Just, and the guy seems to be popular. So let's leave him alone. And they're like, we don't want to piss them off, so just leave this guy alone and let him do his thing. So I'm doing the post-game show. And I'm doing it out of the park. So after the game's over, I sit at the home games. On the road, I do it at the studio, but like after the games, I'd go into the press box, and it was really cool, guys. My voice would echo throughout the stadium, bro. It was a dome, and I talk loud. This is Sports Rage, Sports Rage, Sports Rage. It would echo through the stadium, and players would tell me, and the grounds crew would tell me they could hear everything I was saying from the field after the game because I would talk so loud and the stadium was empty, right? So everyone could hear me. My voice was echoing through the stadium. It was really cool. I'll tell a story, too. It should go in the book, but we're talking about Vlad Guerrero Jr., but I'll tell you about doing the game. So basically, the analyst was sick. He wasn't feeling well, and he told me, like the night before, he goes, listen, I'm not really feeling well. And he goes, if I'm not in the studio tomorrow by 1 in the afternoon, you know you're doing the game tomorrow. And lo and behold, I got the call in the morning, boom, you're doing the game tonight. I was like, wow, I'm doing a Major League Baseball game. I'm the analyst. This is unbelievable. I was nervous as hell. That's the most nervous I've ever been in my career. Besides being in a band, I've been nervous like in a music band a few times before. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm not qualified to be a Major League Baseball analyst. I'm just a loudmouth talk show host. And they were like, don't worry about it. You'll do fine. So I'm at the cage. I'm at the batting cage before the game. And I was friends with Michael Barrett, the catcher. Good guy, great guy. Friends, whatever. We talked a lot at the stadium. And he used to come to my live show, so he liked me. You know what I mean? He was a buddy of mine. So he saw me at the batting cage, and he's like, he goes, man, what's wrong? You're a little different right now than normal. Like, are you all right? And I said, no. I said, I'm doing the game tonight. I'm doing the analyst. I said, I'm not qualified. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, whatever. And I said, I don't know if it's a slider or a curve. What the hell do I know? And he goes, no one knows. They make it up. That's what he tells me. And I'll tell you on the other side the Michael Barrett story, but the guy's amazing how he bigged me up and got me ready for the game. Great guy. I'll never forget that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Nobody wants to hear the nonsensical ravings of a loudmouth malcontent.
Well, too bad, because here we are. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. It's baseball story time. It's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. So it all started the story started because of the picture. There's a picture circulating tonight. And, of course, if you saw his glove, which is beautiful, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. had his glove tonight in the picture of him in the Expos uniform with his father. I was there that night. And like I said, I was there every day, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was there every day. And there was a rule for the Expos clubhouse in which no children were allowed, no exceptions, except one, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And he used to be in uniform and have a bat, and he'd mimic his father everywhere they went. Like when his father would get dressed in uniform, he'd get dressed in uniform. When his father would walk out from BP, he would walk out to BP with him. Everything. I remember they had kids games with the Expos kids players, and he would murder it. Like Vlad Jr. Like he'd smoke the ball in the center field as a little chubby four-year-old and stuff. It's amazing if you look at his face, too. It's the same. So I am Gabriel Morenci. We're kicking a Sirius XM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio Networks. I was telling a story about how I did a Major League Baseball game. I forget the date. That's the type of thing. And you know what sucks? I had the box score. I kept a couple of sheets that night. I don't know if I still have them. I think I might. I think I have one of them somewhere. I remember the pitchers, Jay Sow and Javier Vasquez. It was the New York Mets and the Montreal Expos. So it was pretty cool. I did a Mets game. Mets and Expos. And So I was the post-game show host, and I had a show on Sports Rage, this show, after the post-game show. So, and it was very popular. And so I'm nervous about doing, like, Major League Baseball, like, a game, right? I'm like, I'm not qualified to be an analyst. And I was with Elliot Price, the play-by-play guy. He's very good. Great play-by-play guy. And I don't think Elliot was thrilled I was doing it, though. So I'm like, all right. And I suck it up. I'm kind of nervous, but I'm like, all right, let's roll. Let's do this thing. And I'm getting, so I'm at the batting cage. Michael Barrett, I'm talking to Barrett, and I tell him, he goes, everything all right? And I'm like, I said, oh, I'm doing a game tonight. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, I shouldn't be an analyst. I'm just a post-game show guy, loudmouth. I take calls from angry fans and like, right? And he goes, no. What are you talking about? He goes, you'll do fine. And then he even tells me, he goes, we all love you. You're going to do fine. And he goes, we like you better than your colleagues. They didn't like the other guys. He goes, you'll do fine. And I said, I don't know. I'm not like whatever. And Michael Barrett, great guy, didn't have to do this. Like, think about a catcher, starting catcher, big leaguer, and a media guy. They don't have that relationship now. So he told me, he goes, guy bigs me up like I'm a pitcher or something. He goes, listen, Morency. He goes, who do you think is going to be listening to the game on the radio? And he goes, the same damn people that listen to the game after, to your post-game show. He goes, it's the same audience with the post-game show than it is with the game. He goes, why would you be nervous to be broadcasting to the same people already that already like you? It's a pretty good point, right, Matthias? Like, as far as psychology is concerned? I was like, wow. He calmed me down. Like, I was like, wow, this is Michael Barrett. I was like, wow, man. And he goes, it's the same people. And then he even goes, if anything, there's more people listening to the post-game show because people watch on TV too, right? And he starts telling me. And he goes, I bet you there's more people listening to your post-game show than listening to the game. And he goes, so I don't know what you're nervous about. He goes, you're going to be broadcasting to less people than normal. He goes, the only difference is it'll be during the game instead of after the game. And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah. Like, you know, I'm starting to buy what he's selling. And then this is where it's super cool. Never forget this. Like, he goes, I'm not supposed to show this to anybody. And then he even tells me, he goes, Frank Robinson doesn't even look at this, the manager. And Barrett shows me, brings me like to a personal area, and he gives it to me. And he goes, I can't let you leave with this. And he goes, you can't copy this either. But he goes, just take a look at it. It's almost like classified material. He goes, check it out. Dude, it was the scouting report for the game. His personal catching to Javier Vasquez pitch report. And basically, I didn't write it word for word, but it was like, you know, he was like, and it was against the Mets. And basically, it was like, Bobby Bonilla hates this. It was basically like the scouting report. Like, it was Barrett. It's what Michael Barrett gave to Javier Vasquez before the game, guys. He gave me what he gave his own pitcher. It was basically Bobby Bonilla hates curveballs. Likes this, hates that, right? And it was like very detailed with every guy, guys. Like, even these guys before analytics, they're not stupid, right? It was basically low and away. Where it was like every guy had a different thing. Attack this guy, right? So the game starts. And Elliot Price, like Gabriel Morency, he wasn't happy I was there. He won't admit it, but it's true. So I bet you he would admit if I got him on now. So he's probably thinking, you can't get someone else besides this idiot. So I'm there, and first inning, I call it. I'm like, hey, Elliot, pleasure to be here. I said, look for them to attack this guy high and tight. He doesn't like high and tight, and then they're going to low outside. It happens. Happens. A couple of batters later, I drill it. I'm like, they're going to attack this guy with a lot of sinkers, Elliot. Boom. Elliot got mad after he, like, because he thought I was, like, trying to be cool. He goes, you know, it's not predictive. It was almost like, I was like Tony Romo, essentially, guys. I was Tony Romo. I was calling, like, everything before it happened because the catcher told me what they were going to call. Right? So, for the first five innings with Vasquez, I knew everything. After, I was on my own. That was the deal. Once Vasquez was out of the game, I did not know what they were going to do. You know what I'm saying? But I effing nailed it, man. I nailed it. Like, this is going to happen. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They told me. They told me. He told me, we want you to look good, basically. They were like, they gave me all this stuff. And it goes to show, if you're cool in the media, players will be really cool with you. Right? And they'll give you inside information. Right? If you're a jerk, then, you know, you're going to be a jerk and you're going to get nothing. Well, the jerk store called and they ran out of you. I got so much. Yeah, it was so cool. Like, those guys were really nice to me. Not all of them. Some of them didn't like me too much. Yeah, you know, some of them tolerated me, but I was close. I was tight with Brad Wilkerson, Michael Barrett, Brian Schneider, who replaced Barrett as the catcher. Cabrera, though. Orlando Cabrera, I was probably sort of... Brad Wilkerson, I was tightest with. Like, Wilkerson and I used to actually go watch football games at bars together. Like, I had never done that with other... I've hung out with some, you know what I mean? But I was actually friends. I used to go watch football with Expo players. Because they'd bet, right? And they knew I bet. We were kind of the same age. Right, so like and I got along with them, and I didn't rat them out with it. I would never rat them out with anything, because they could rat me out too. They could rat me out. Right? It was one of those deals. They almost liked that. They were like, "Well, he's not going to say anything. He's doing the same thing with us. Like, he's not going to rat us out, right?" Like, but they were super, super cool dudes. But Orlando Cabrera was really cool. Vladimir Guerrero did the interview with me. And he told me, he was the one, I broke it. And he said, I will not go to Washington. It was on my show that I recorded in the shower, literally. He was wearing nothing but a towel. I was in a shower with him. And Manny Acta, who went on to become a big manager. Manny Acta was the third base coach at the time. He was the interpreter for the interview. And Vladimir Guerrero said, I'm not going to Washington. And that's what it broke, basically. Like, Vladimir Guerrero told baseball, I'm not going with you guys. He went to the Angels. And it's funny, because the Dodgers wanted him, but Vladimir Guerrero Sr., when he was a kid, he showed up to a Dodgers youth camp and tried out, and he had two left shoes, and they sent him home. And he said, I'll never forgive the LA Dodgers for this. I'll never sign with them. And he signed with the Angels. That's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence they signed with the Angels. But so did Orlando Cabrera, right? And so Bill Stoneman, who threw the first no-hitter in Expos history, the former general manager of the Expos, was the general manager of the Angels. And the Angels became Expos West Coast. Essentially, you know what I mean? When the Expos couldn't pay you anymore, like they couldn't pay anybody, all right, it was time to go, you went to the Angels. That was the deal. And they won a World Series. Like, you know what I mean? Orlando Cabrera won a World Series. But Orlando Cabrera was really cool. Like, same thing with Orlando. But Vladimir Guerrero, you remember, they did the interview. He said, I'm not going to Washington. And he said, tell the people of Montreal I love them forever. And I'm not going to Washington. And I remember after the interview, he looked. It was sort of like an inside thing. He looked at my shoes and he said, nice shoes. And that was our thing type thing, the shoes. I'll never forget. I'm only going to cry now, but Vladimir Guerrero Sr. hugged me. He hugged me. Because it was kind of like, it wasn't the last game that day, but he was basically saying, yeah, this is the, we're not talking again type thing. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those sort of, at the end, he hugged me. And he told me, like, take care of yourself, man. And he walked away. I ran that interview, and everybody, I got calls from everybody. Can I air your interview? Can I air your interview? Do you have permission to air your interview? It was in Spanish and English. I asked the questions in English. He answered in Spanish, and then Manny Acta answered in English. There was three of us. So, Vladimir, what do you think about moving to Washington? And he said in Spanish, I'm not going to Washington. Manny Acta would say, he said he's not going to Washington. Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Please let me
eat, I'm an artist. You? An artist?
Your husband's work is what we call outsider art. It could be by a mental patient, or a hillbilly, or a chimpanzee.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. Baseball story time. Somebody asked if I dealt with Moises Alou. I did not deal with Moises Alou. Moises Alou was on the Cubs then. He went to the Cubs. I did not deal with Moises Alou. I've met Moises Alou before. I've met Felipe many times. Moises, no. Felipe, yes. Moises, no. Felipe is intimidating, though. Like, I didn't, you know, I stayed away. I took over, too. Like, Frank Robinson was there when I was there, like, in the clubhouse type thing. There's a difference of, like, you know, covering a team and, like, being, like, you know what I mean? I had full access, right? I was the post, like, I had the pass of all passes. I was allowed in the clubhouse. I was allowed anywhere in the stadium type of deal, right? So it's pretty cool. Somebody asked, Javier Vasquez got mad at me once after a Barry Bonds home run, but he used to get mad at everybody. He was just sort of a hothead. No, like, they all like, I'm not going to say everyone loved me. You know what it was, basically? Like, I got along with the American dudes. Like, baseball teams are very cliquish, right? Like, they don't hang out together. So, like, you see, basically I have the American guys, and I got along well with them, right? Because baseball players are very cool dudes in a sense. They're sport fans, right? Like, they bet on NFL football. They have NCAA tournament pools and stuff. Like, they're just sports fans with money, essentially. They go to strip clubs and sports bars. You know what I mean? They're guys, and they're kind of jock types. Like, they're not, like, you know, F1 drivers elegant. You know what I mean? A lot of these guys are just sort of sports fans to get rich. And they're good at baseball. So I got along well with those guys. Like, I used to go to the bars with them and stuff like that and watch sports and, you know, watch other things at other bars, if you know what I mean. Right? So, strip clubs. So I was kind of rare. Like, they don't trust media guys. But, like I said, they didn't look at me like a media type. So that's why I was sort of in with them. And I knew everything about them. It helped me for betting, too. I did really well betting on those guys or against. But I didn't talk about that with them. But, yeah, Carl Everett, though. Remember Carl Everett, the baseball player? He was the guy that Carl Everett threatened to kill me once. But it was in a bar restaurant. Basically, Carl Everett was on the Mets. I was covering the Expos, and they were playing the Mets. And there was this bar restaurant. It's a restaurant, but they serve alcohol. Like, all night type of thing, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those, you know, going for food at 4 in the morning, but you can order whatever you want. It's a drink as well, and they'll bring it. So everyone's drinking coffee cups. Everyone in the place is, like, full of strippers and athletes and stuff. Everyone's got coffee cups. The police department's right next door. Wink, wink. Everyone, you know what I mean? So, and I used to live, like, across the street from this place. Great place. So I went in there after a game. And I covered the game. I was in the clubhouse earlier in the day, and I interviewed the Mets. I interviewed Bobby Bonilla earlier in the day. And I go into this bar restaurant, and Bobby Bonilla and the Mets are there. And I'm standing at the cash, like getting, I'm basically getting a pizza and 6 beers or 12 beers to go, all right? So I was at 12 beers. So I'm like, remember, there was 2 bags of 6. I got a pizza. So I look over, and the Mets are there. And Bobby Bonilla recognizes me. And, you know, he's not like buddies, but he looks over, he goes, hey. I look over, I'm like, hey, Bobby, how you doing? I said, you enjoying Montreal, buddy? Bobby, you enjoying Montreal? He looks over, he goes, he smiles. He goes, yeah, from, like, you know what I mean? I interviewed him earlier in the day. And a couple other Mets are there, and Carl Everett's there. Within 2 seconds, I look at Bobby Bonilla, I'm like, hey, all right, Bobby, enjoy. And like, I don't sit down with him or anything. I don't bother them. I'm like, all right, Bobby. And I'm paying. And I look over again, just to sort of glance over who, you know what I mean? Glance over, and I make eye contact with Carl Everett. Carl Everett gets up. He goes, what the F are you looking at? I said, nothing. And right away, he goes into, I'll kill you, and stuff like that. Bobby Bonilla gets up and sort of puts his arm up, and Bobby's a big dude. Bobby Bonilla puts his arm up sort of to Everett, like, chill out. And Bonilla looks at me like, you better go. Kind of like gives me the, like, go, like, mode. All right? And if you remember, Carl Everett got, like, charged with, like, stuff, right? And so Carl Everett was crazy. So I'm like, man, that was crazy. I get out of the restaurant. I'm like, well, that could have went bad fast. And like Carl Everett like nearly threw a chair at me and stuff. And you can't make this up, guys. Who gets traded to the Expos? Like 4 months later, Carl Everett, right? I'm the post game show host. They actually tell me, listen, Carl Everett, he's showing up. It's his first day. You're going to interview him. Everyone was scared of him. They're like, you're going to interview him. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, oh, man, what, the guy that threatened to kill me in a restaurant 4 months ago? I got to interview this guy? So I go up to Carl Everett. I never forget. It was on the field. It was around, like, first base near the dugout. I go up to him. I'm like, hey, Carl, welcome to Montreal. I said, I'm Gabriel Moretz. I'm the host of the post-game show. And I said, I'm getting interviewed. I said, I don't know if you've been told, but you know, I'm just going to take like 5-7 minutes of your time here. I got a mic there and stuff. I swear to God, Carl Everett could not have been the nicest guy to do an interview with at the time. Complete opposite of the real, like, at night in the bar, in the restaurant. Like, he's all like, pleasure to be here. And I never forget, he had the hat on. He goes, I always thought these hats were cool. And he had the hat on. And like, and he's like, oh, no, it's great to be here, man. He goes, I've always liked coming to Montreal. And so in the interview, he says this. Like, he's like, he goes, I've always enjoyed coming here even when I was on other teams. And I'm thinking, enjoy coming here. You threatened to kill me. He had no idea it was me. Like, or nothing. Yeah, I mean, after the interview, he shook my hand. He was like, anytime you need an interview, bro, anytime, huh? He walked away. And I was like, wow. I was like, man, I was all scared like going into that. He was all nice and stuff. He threw me for a loop. But the whole point is that the moral of this story is you always hear people talk about athletes. Oh, no, no, I've seen him at the park. I've interviewed him. Nah, you can never do something like that. You know, just because you interview someone at work during the day doesn't mean they won't stab two people. OJ was an ultra nice guy. You know how many people said, oh, no way in hell OJ did that. Right? Including myself at first. I was like, come on, OJ didn't do that. I realized sort of, you know, didn't take long to clue in. Basically, I thought OJ was sort of, you know, I was being naive. But when OJ flew back from Chicago that night, that Sunday night, you know, because OJ left, right? OJ split, and he got on a plane. He went to Chicago. He played dumb and stuff, and he came back after, right? And, you know, I was like, you know. But basically, it was the Bronco chase. Innocent people don't flee with passports, wigs, and cash. You don't have to be Matlock to figure that one out. Yeah, you don't have to be Matlock. Or Magnum PI to, you know, once you see a dude start to flee. All right, so do they have numbers up here or what for the TBT tournament? The basketball tournament. It's starting on Friday. FanDuel were the official sponsor last year. I don't see why they wouldn't be this year again. Maybe they won't be outright wins. Maybe they'll just be games or something, you know? Starts on Friday, though, guys. Wall-to-wall basketball. ESPN is broadcasting all the games. Starts Friday afternoon. Like, and starting from there, it's going to be wall-to-wall basketball all the time. Great stuff. It's a fun tournament. You remember we really got into it last year. Really, really got into it. And Chris, speaking of getting into it, how about this, Matthias? Matthias is a Michigan fan as well as I am. Michigan are the second choice to win the college basketball championship. Because I'm on the basketball page right now. I was hoping to see if they had the TBT odds up yet. They've got NCAA odds up. Gonzaga is 7-1 to win the championship. Michigan is plus 950, the second choice. Great recruiting class Juwan Howard had. Villanova's 12-1, third choice. Kentucky 12-1, Purdue 14-1, UCLA 14-1. But Michigan are in the mix, Matthias. Look, and I don't know if you saw the recruiting class, but he's killing it. If Juwan Howard stays for a couple of years, we're going to be cutting down the net soon, buddy. I'm telling you.
Gabe, he brought in a great recruiting class, like you said, but I think the biggest win that they actually had was getting the transfer from Coastal Carolina, Devontae Jones, another senior point guard.
I include that in the recruiting. Yeah, he was the top scorer of the conference. Exactly.
Look what happened. You know, everybody's like, oh, Xavier Simpson's gone. Well, he gets Mike Smith, you know, the big-time senior transfer. And look what he did for the program in year one. He's gone. But now we get another guy who's
been tested,
and he's going to be a leader in that locker room. And that's just another leader in the locker room because Hunter Dickinson's coming back. And that's big news for Big Blue.
The TBT, and I'm fired up for all this basketball Olympic. And a shout-out to John in the Windy City. Overseas elite are not in the tournament this year. Overseas elite are not in the tournament this year. And this is something why you tune into the show in the middle of the night to get information like this. But this is sick, guys. Two of the dudes on overseas elite are on Boeheim's Army. And this is the first time ever Boeheim's Army isn't just Syracuse guys. Like normally, like it's Boeheim's Army, so they're tight about that. They're tight about that, but they're not now. They've got guys. They got two guys from overseas elite. They got a couple other dudes from other schools. Boeheim's Army's not playing around, and the team to beat coming into this tournament. Overseas elite were kind of hyped. I'm buying into sideline cancer again. Team ALS, because some of these teams play for charity. Team ALS, Team Sideline Cancer. Very dangerous coming into this tournament. Dude, Sideline Cancer were knocking on the door last year, man. All right? And I'm telling you what, I follow this tournament. Experience matters in this tournament. It's the same teams that make it. It's guys that are in the tournament. The newcomers and the mercenaries, they always get knocked out. And let me tell you, there's a lot of mercenaries this year. There's 64 teams vying for $1 million. Paid for by, what was that called? Paid for by Gel or Tell or what was it? I heard it a million times last year. I forgot already. It was like some sort of payment stuff. Speaking of new teams, for betting purposes, though, out of the gate, guys, in game one, I don't see point spreads yet. I like this Xavier team. Zip them up. First time entry, zip them up. All right? Zip them up. They have Trayvon Blewett running the team. Trayvon can play. Mayweather's got a team. We talked about it. We'll get into this really Thursday night in its entirety because it starts Friday. Right? There'll be point spreads up. We'll really jump into this stuff. But I'll tell you what, Sideline Cancer, they got Marcus Keene back. Marcus Keene was like the player of the tournament last year. He's a pure scorer. Central Michigan Chippewas. He plays in Europe. Really good player, Marcus Keene. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Risen from the ashes to take what you've got.
You think I'm dead,
but I'm not. As for the Milwaukee Bucks, written by me, Morenci. Yeah, so Boeheim's Army, guys. Boeheim's Army is dipping outside the talent pool. Normally it's Syracuse only. But you know what? They want the $1 million, and they realize they've got to step it up a notch. All right. So they brought in, they bring in DeAndre Kane and DJ Kennedy, both who have won multiple titles with overseas elite. All right. Kennedy's the most prolific scorer in the basketball tournament history, winning a portion of the $7 million over four times. He's been the TBT MVP two times, man. All right. Kane was an overseas elite mainstay, represents another player that didn't play for Syracuse. These guys ain't playing around, bro. I'm telling you, they're loaded. This is a loaded basketball team. Seven of the 11 players. They got 11 players, a lot of these teams. So this is their team, guys. Devendorf, Malachi Richardson, Andrew White, Tyler Lydon, Chris McCullough, Pascal Chouaku, CJ Flair. And now you're bringing in Kennedy. You're bringing in Kennedy right now and Kane from overseas elite, who were the best team in the tournament for like most of the time. They got upset last year. They're not in the tournament. Joe Johnson. Was on that team, NBA, too. I'm telling you, this is why you tune into the show, guys. Shh, don't tell anybody, okay? I'm dead serious. I don't want to see anyone tuning in right now on Twitter telling people, hey, you know, overseas elite of United with Boeheim's Army? Shut up. It's a secret. I'm dead serious about this. I don't want to see you guys talk about this on Twitter. Because this isn't like the NBA and stuff. Like, no one knows about this tournament. Let's keep it that way. You tune into the show, you'll know about this tournament. Trust me. I murdered it. I think I made about $8,000 in this tournament last year. No joke. Don't tell anybody. Oh, yeah. Tell people to take the Milwaukee Bucks in the over. You'll look cool on Thursday morning. Bring it.
We do this 24 hours a day, working hard to bring you the news you can use.